thinking about your team, do they go with you or do they challenge you?
Well, you need them to go with you or you're not going to get very far. The old African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Okay.
You have to go with people if you want to go far.
Welcome to season 19 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome back. Season 19 moving right along. In this week's episode, in our featured conversation, I'm joined by Sherry Kong, a certified executive coach. And Sherry has done some incredible work to help teams collaborate and generate innovative solutions in organizations. And she's currently getting her PhD in leadership studies. And so Sherry reached out to me to interview me for one of her class project that she's working on. And so I said, of course, no problem. So she came into the office and we spent about a half hour together in an interview. And at the end, I said, you know, why don't I just use this interview for the podcast so our listeners can not only learn from my personal journey, but some of the things I'm really thinking about and hold deeply important to me from a leadership perspective. And I'm really interested to get your opinion and take on this. Each week we get tons of LinkedIn messages about the show. And I really hope this show in particular, you'll send me some specific feedback on, because I was real and I was honest. So I really hope you enjoy this honest interview with my friend, Sherry Kong. You can look her up on LinkedIn, S-H-E-R-R-I-K-O-N-G, Sherry Kong on LinkedIn. And so without further ado, here is my interesting discussion with me being interviewed by my friend Sherry Kong.
Well, thank you again for doing this with me.
Yeah.
So first question, what was your path to your current position?
I went to work for a company called Sales Performance International, who is a global sales training firm.
Okay.
And they would deploy their sales methodology across global sales organizations so they could have some consistency in their sales approach. Hmm. And so I started there selling basically corporate engagements for big Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 kind of companies.
Okay.
And so that's where I really fell in love with professional education. Mm. I didn't fall in love with how they deployed their content. It was all 2.5-3 day instructor-led training.
Okay.
And so while I just saw what beautiful things would happen with really good professional education versus college education, no disrespect. but I just saw that you could go apply what you were learning immediately and then get some business result from it, and that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been in that role about 4 or 5 years. I got the opportunity to sit on their management team to kind of further understand how small businesses, medium-sized businesses worked, which was just an incredible learning experience of sitting in all these management meetings. Many weeks I would say absolutely nothing. I just would listen and learn. So that was a big, big educational piece. About 4 or 5 years in, they had acquired a small technology company called WeSkill. And I wanted the opportunity to make the leap from just selling to doing something more.
Okay.
And so I went to their CFO at the time and I knew the business was struggling because I was sitting in the management meetings.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd like the opportunity to turn that business around. And he agreed. He said,
wow.
He said, yes. And so that's what got us, that's what got me more into a management role, I guess you could mm-hmm. say, you know, having responsibility for other people. And from there, we just, eventually I bought the business from SPI,
okay.
We rebranded to LearnLoft. We then began focusing on leadership development and being a content company versus just being a technology company.
Okay.
So that was the journey.
And what were your challenges during that journey?
I've had a lot of them.
Okay. The ones that stand out the most?
Leading people is the hardest.
Okay.
There's a great responsibility that comes with so, you know, quote unquote, sitting in the chair, that you're responsible for other people's, you know, paychecks.
Yes.
the things that they have going on in their personal and their professional lives, some semblance of their career progression. You're also responsible. They're ultimately responsible for the education, right. But you sitting in the chair, you feel like, you know, it's your job. You're the ultimately the one responsible for it. So that was the big thing. So I would say people is, and then a close second is just the strategy of making sure you're on the right track. If you think of it like a train.
Okay.
You know, you can be on a train going somewhere. Okay. Are you on the right tracks going the right direction? Mm-hmm. I think that has always been a little bit of the challenge of are we going in the right direction? Do we have the right people on the train? Is the train even going the direction that is taking us where we want to go?
Okay.
And I think that those would be the two main challenges, the people side of it, the leading humans, and then the strategy side of it, making sure that you're going in the right direction.
So when you're determining strategy, what are you looking for?
I learned this the hard way, but it's really hard to go where you without knowing the mission behind the work that you're trying to do.
Okay.
So when we started, we didn't really have a mission. We didn't really know what we were trying to achieve. So if you think of it in terms of a military operation,
mm-hmm.
the Navy SEALs that were going to Afghanistan to kill Osama bin Laden had a clear mission.
Okay.
They were going to take out the most dangerous man in the world.
Right.
Nothing else superseded that. That was what they were going to do. They were either going to succeed at that or they were going to fail at that. And I think early on, it's a lot easier to come up with a strategy mm-hmm. when the mission is clear.
Yes. Okay.
With the mission's not clear, it's easy to shiny penny to get mm-hmm. move in various directions. And so early on, we didn't have that clear mission.
Okay.
It was exposed to us through our work, and now our mission today is to turn managers into leaders and create healthier places to work. So now it's a lot easier to create strategies mm-hmm. and create technology or create assessments or create surveys that are going to help us go live out that mission.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, not somewhere we should be focused.
Okay.
So a roundabout way of answering the question is the mission was really important to then understand what strategies we should be implementing.
So it helps you filter out opportunities and things to say no to.
Or ways or areas we should be more proactive in.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're building something versus a leader of a Fortune 100 company that's been around 50 years that, you know, this is a big ship that you have to either maneuver or adjust or transition. When it's a smaller company, it's a lot easier to be nimble and mm-hmm. change and pivot. And so both still need a clear mission for what they're doing and why they're doing it. But it's a lot easier to shift and navigate the strategy or the execution when it's a smaller group versus 270,000 employees or something. So I don't know if that helps. But.
Yeah, no, you can be more agile.
Be more agile.
Give a smaller group.
You can also get on the wrong track quicker, if that makes sense.
Because you follow an idea or?
Yeah, I mean, if you just think of it like this, because you can pivot and be more agile, you can jump on the wrong track faster than a big organization to pivot, to maneuver, to change strategies mm-hmm. takes a long time because you got to change the behavior of a lot of people.
Yeah.
So whereas a smaller organization or a leader of a smaller team, they can jump from track to track to track to track to track almost in days.
Okay.
Which can be good and right. it can be bad because if you jump to a track that isn't the right track because you can get there fast
mm-hmm.
and you start going down that, I don't know how we got on this train metaphor, but
it was you.
Yeah, I know I was me. But that's how I would think about that.
So thinking about your team, Do they go with you or do they challenge you?
Well, you need them to go with you or you're not going to get very far. The old African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Okay.
You have to go with people if you want to go far.
Hmm.
So I absolutely, I mean, that's one of the key components of leadership is getting everybody on the same, singing from the same hymn sheet, going the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, absolutely have to have them. And there are many times when people challenge or question or mm-hmm. have concerns about XYZ. But if the mission is clear,
okay,
if the mission is to turn managers into leaders and create healthier places to work, and the idea or the pivot is going to help you do that better, more efficiently, more effectively, everyone can be like, well, is this going to help us do that?
Okay, yeah.
It's a lot easier to get everybody on the track. Now, if I came back tomorrow and I said, you know, we're going to get into the education space around cooking, it'd be pretty easy for my team to be like, no, we're not going to do that.
Right.
Because it's not helping us get where we're trying to go. It's not helping evolve the mission or us live out the mission.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where having that clarity up front about what you're doing is so, so important.
Yeah. So how would your team describe you?
I'm going to steal that question.
Okay.
how would my team describe me? Passionate.
Uh-huh.
Hardworking.
Okay.
Tenacious.
Oh, good one.
Confident. Those would be the four.
Okay.
And there are a lot of other things. They might say asshole too. I have no idea. But no, I think those would be the four that I would think that they would say about me.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I'm proud of.
Those are great ways to be described. Did you have that vision of yourself as a leader when you started moving into management?
I was always confident in what I was doing. I have a 4.5-year-old daughter, and, you know, she'll put her shoes on the wrong feet, and you can say, Lucy, those shoes are on the wrong feet, and she says, no, they're not. And she's so confident that she's right. So I think some of it is DNA, the confidence side of things. Also being small. Like, I always was short. I always was one of the smaller people. So I think you build up a natural kind of confidence because to go compete with the bigger kids, you had to have some of that.
Yeah.
I guess you could call that little man syndrome. I don't know the research definition of that or technical.
But Chihuahua.
It's the little dog that's going to go fight for what he needs mm-hmm. or what he wants, and he's going to go be pretty confident and tenacious to go get it. It's the only way he can get it.
Yeah.
So I think I've always, whether that be part DNA and part being small, the one thing that I think has changed a lot is when you go learn a new business or you go learn a new industry,
mm-hmm.
to be blindly confident about it is just arrogance. I think it's just ego.
Okay.
So one thing I am really proud of in my own personal development is that I haven't been blindly confident or blindly arrogant about what we know and don't know. I always felt like I was kind of walking alongside the people that we were helping because I was having to live it out and learn it myself.
Hmm.
So while I've always been confident that we can go achieve things and things that haven't yet been achieved, I haven't always been as confident or as sure about the things that we were teaching others because I was testing and then using them myself.
Hmm.
That's the best way I would describe that.
Yeah. So what values would you say drive LearnLoft or your work?
Well, company values are really important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can look up and down on the greatest teams, the greatest companies. They all have a defined list of core values. I was yesterday, I went to lunch at Earth Fair, the one Amazon bought.
Whole Foods.
I was in Whole Foods. And I was getting on this escalator. I don't go there much, but I was just eating lunch by myself. And I look up, and they got these 7 core values on the wall that clearly described kind of everything that they did and what they stood for. And every organization that we work with that is just what we consider a level 4 or level 5 culture has just really strong defined core values. It allows people from all different walks of life, all different generations, all different races, all different religions, all different sexes, right? To bind together to say, this is what we stand for.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, this isn't the place for you to be.
Right.
You know? But they're welcoming in nature because they know they got to get these people from all different parts of the world or walks of life or economic to bind together and to behave and act a certain way. And that's what gets really powerful. And so, yeah, I think core values and knowing what you stand for are extremely important.
So the values that you chose for Learn Loft, are they reflective of your personal?
Yeah, they're intertwined.
Okay.
I mean, you know, they're absolutely intertwined because we came up with ours together.
Okay, good.
But I would be lying to you if I don't think my impact or my input was either strongly considered or the way I already felt, believed, or behaved wasn't infiltrated in those. Now, but again, because you're a small team, it's a lot easier. And it's not, this is going to sound like I contradict myself, but it's not. They're not as important to be defined when it's a small group that work together closely every day.
Okay.
Versus a really big organization with hundreds of thousands of employees, they absolutely have to be defined really clearly because you're going state to state, city to city, country to country, they have to be consistent.
Yes, yeah.
So in the larger organizations or, you know, anyone over, let's call it 30 to 40 employees with people that work remote or at home or, you know, anything like that, they have to be really well-defined.
Yeah.
In a small organization, you know, when someone doesn't, when someone isn't honest or they're not coachable or the work ethic's not the same every single day like we would expect in our core values, it's easy to just go have the conversation with them.
Right.
Because you're working so close.
Yeah.
It's another thing when, you know, they're in Indiana and I'm in Charlotte, it would be much harder.
So you see values as a way to, as a management tool.
A leadership tool.
Leadership tool. Correction.
Yeah, a leadership tool. Because what they do is, if you think of culture as the shared values and beliefs that guide thinking and behavior, the shared values and beliefs that guide thinking and behavior, what core values are shared beliefs.
Okay.
There's shared beliefs that everyone says these are important for us to go be successful and to be a part of this team. So if we don't have those defined shared beliefs, what is the thinking and behavior going to look like from people on the other end? However they feel like it. Like however they feel like acting today. So that's the way I would think about, that's why core values are so important for an organization, because if our culture is going to be the shared values and beliefs that guide thinking and behavior, we have to have some shared belief or values.
Yeah.
And so they are really the cornerstone of culture, I believe.
Yeah, that's a great way to explain it.
Yeah. So we teach something called the purpose trifecta for an organization, which is mission, vision, values. Mission, vision, values. So we just covered two of them, right? Mission, having a really defined mission of what we're going to go try to accomplish. Mm-hmm. We do X in order to achieve Y for Z. What are we doing here? Why do we exist? The values, the shared beliefs of the organization that are going to guide our thinking and behavior. And then vision is like, where are we trying to go?
Yeah.
Like long term. So if you think of like an Elon Musk, who I'm not a huge fan of from a leadership perspective, but one of his companies called SpaceX, they're trying to commercialize travel to space.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, about as big a vision as you can have. I mean, he's competing against countries, really,
yeah.
And beating them. So they have a vision statement that we're going to go put people on the moon or on Mars or the moon by 2025. We're going to put people on Mars by 2025. Well, imagine going to work there every single day and being like, that vision is so big and so bold and so, like, nobody believes that, do they?
Hmm.
But now imagine going to do your work every single day knowing that this is why, you know, you're helping this become a reality in 7 or 8 years. Like, all of a sudden, I get pretty excited about coming to work every single day.
Yeah.
So I think those are the three areas that we would tell any leader to focus on, to make sure that they're defined if you're going to go, you know, really lead an organization forward.
So what is your Mars?
Well, we're trying to become one of the leading professional development companies in America by 2020. So when we originally thought of it, or when we originally came up with it, I mean, we weren't a blip on the radar. So it felt like a really big deal to go compete with a Gallup or go compete with a DDI or some of these companies that were already well established in the space.
Yeah.
I would like to get it a little bit more defined as we progress, as we get closer to some attainment of that.
Okay.
But I like to think of it as kind of understanding where you are today versus where you're trying to go. There's a guy named Dr. Miles Monroe who passed away. He was a pastor. But he always said that your eyes are the enemy of vision, which sounds interesting, which sounds counterintuitive. But think of it like this. Your eyes are only going to let you see what they see.
Right.
But what we're trying to do with a vision is, like, you actually have to close your eyes and see something that doesn't currently exist.
Your imagination.
Yeah, or what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I always like to think of it that way, is, like, close your eyes. And what do you see as possible for your family, for your business, for your team, whatever, that someone else would be like, no way. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, you're crazy, man. And I like to think of it like that. If your team is like, yeah, that's attainable.
Right.
Probably not big enough.
Right.
Probably not big enough. But it's important because it can be aspirational and keep people going and keep something big North Star out there that you're trying to go achieve.
How will you be different than the ones you're competing against?
Well, that comes down back to the strategy. That comes right back down to the execution every single day.
Yeah.
You know, what are the things that we do day in and day out that make us different, that separate us, that help us execute? So, yeah, we have a model that we teach called the GPI method. But the point is that, like, yeah, that's the day-to-day. It's where the rubber meets the road. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, each company might go about things differently or might have a different process or procedure or product, right, that separates them over the competition. But, yeah, that gets back to the strategy or the execution daily.
So I have one final question, and that's, what advice would you give if someone came to you and said, hey, you know, I have this idea for a business I want to start. I have a small team. What would you tell them?
Get really clear on the mission.
Okay.
Get really clear on the mission. It doesn't have to be defined day one, because like us, or like many companies, you know, you uncover it or it unfolds. It's like a book that you keep turning pages and the story unfolds, right? You don't know the whole story the first page.
Right.
So if you've had an experience that's created this clear mission day one, lay it out there. If it's not, just make sure that you're constantly letting that story unfold before your eyes to really discover what the mission of your team is, why it exists. So I would say it's really hard to get people excited and to achieve things if we don't know why we're doing it. So I would tell any leader in that situation to make sure you've uncovered why you're doing what you're doing. If it's only to make money, it's not a good enough reason.
Right.
Making money is important, but it's got to go beyond just revenue, because money is, there's always someone with more money.
Right.
There's always, money's never enough. If money is your only driving force, it will never be enough. So that's the way I would tell a young leader to think about mission, really, really important. And then the second thing is to go back to where we started, which is you're not going to get there by yourself. So you have to live out the mission. The main purpose of a leader is to elevate others. That's it. Like, that's it. So we've got to go then say, who are the people that we need around us, and how do we help elevate them beyond where they are today to help us get where we're all trying to go? And so those would be mission and people.
Yeah.
Mission and people.
Awesome. Thank you, John.
Yeah.